Welcome into the Common Dad Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I am your host again, sadly, Justin Matthew Gray the First. Indeed. And I am, of course, joined by my very enthused co-host, Andrew. How are you doing?
Insert applause.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Something like that.
I think we have something.
It's good. Work is great. Love when customers yell at you on the phone, you know.
Because it's our
fault. But hey.
Because you did it.
Bourbon. Yeah.
So.
Bourbon. That's, you know.
That'll show.
I don't have anything. I just got water tonight. So just dealing with my problems.
That's not how you deal with your problems.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's dumb. Let me just hit you with this right off the bat. Is the Lego or Legos the best toy of all time and will always be the best toy of all time? It was just a thought that crossed my mind as I was at the store the other day looking at Legos, like, man, are they the best?
Like,
in terms of like longevity,
gotta be up there.
Yeah,
because I mean, you can play with them as a kid. You can play with them as a grown adult. Who cares? And you can create anything with them.
I don't know when the Lego started, like when it inception was, but it feels like it. Like when we were little, that was a top toy.
Like if somebody hands you a pile of Legos and you're a grown adult, what are you going to do? You're going to put them together.
You're going to immediately start building something. Yes, it's just, and it's one of those toys where like if the Legos suck, it's your fault. It's not the Lego's fault. Like it's your problem.
But you probably don't have what you're looking for or the right pieces, but
yeah, but you lost them. Oh, here we go. 1932 in Denmark. Okay, interesting. But I was just thinking, like, their product is perfect. It will never change the design of the Legos.
They could make it hurt less when you step on them.
They could, but they won't. They will not. Never.
I love those sharp corners.
I tell you what hurts more than a Lego. I had a Kinect. You know, I don't know, they're called Kinects. They're plastic, but they have sharper edges for sure. And like I had two half circles that one of my boys put together to make a little mine looking thing. And I stepped on one of those. Ooh. That was worse than
I don't know, man. The corners on like the Lego bricks, the standard bricks, the corners on those things are really sharp.
A corner will get you. So maybe we need to do a full episode about the best toys of all time. I think Lego will remain that because they don't have to do anything else. They just, everybody else creates stuff for them. And then they just go, oh yeah, we'll just put a kit together for that. And they find the pieces, put it in a bag and then sell it for $20 more than what those same pieces would cost without the instructions.
You just need to define the parameters because, you know, being dads, we have like dad toys, like our cars and our motorcycles.
Sure.
And even, you know, like some people will go out and, you know, they'll get that. They mow their lawn once a month and they go out and get some massive riding lawn mower with a zero turn. And mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, what is, but that's his toy.
But it's,
maybe it's something in the garage, you know. And I think you could certainly argue that a muscle car might be more fun, whatever that is, than a Lego.
But the muscle car will eventually die. The Lego lives on. Always and forever. Like, have you ever broken a Lego?
We have a few really old ones that have been passed down that are broken.
But usually when the problem with Legos is you lose them. It's not that they break.
We have so many of them, dude. It's just like everybody we know is just like, oh, you have kids. Here's Legos.
Just Legos. Have at it. Yeah.
Just so, bins full of Legos.
Let's make an episode out of that. We'll write that down. We'll do the best toys of all time. Stop. Immediately stop what you're doing. Thank you so much for listening, but you need to stop. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, stop. Subscribe right now. I'll give you a couple seconds. If you're driving, pull over, stop and subscribe. Okay. Thank you so much. Back to the show. All right. But tonight, this morning, this evening, whenever you're listening, it doesn't matter. Thank you for listening, but it doesn't matter. we're going to be talking about how to prep our kids for life change. And let's just start from the birth, from the moment the mother's job is finished, at least that part. And then we'll go
into more detail. I don't think people know what you're talking about.
Do we need to go into vivid detail about
graphic
the vaginal walls? Do we need to get into that, or should we?
So you mean like that? Minute five?
Right. Yeah. Minute five.
I mean, so I would argue we don't really have a whole lot of role to play for a while, but okay. Let's see where you're going with
this. So I've got these categorized, and these are very rough categories. This is in my dumb head with my experience, kind of how I see each stage. So I've got birth to about 1.5 feels like it's a solid section. Then I've got 2 to 7. Apparently in my head, nothing happens between 1.5 to 2. So we're just leaving that out. Two to seven.
Transition.
Yeah. Transition. And then I got grade school, middle school, high school. That's what I've got. You can disagree. It's probably wrong. And you probably should disagree. Not you.
Probably
Andrew,
should.
Yeah. So for one to from birth to 1.5, I don't even think it's about like prepping the child, because you can't. It's more about prepping yourself. Wouldn't you agree, doctor?
There are certainly some things the child is going to learn and pick up and, you know, adapt from his environment. Kids are smart from kind of a young age, relatively speaking. So there's certainly some stuff you can do in there. You know, I forget who it is. One of the talk show guys, they, you know, put out a book that's, you know, the book is called Dada.
Mm-hmm. Like you sit there, Jimmy and you Fallon.
Read them the book Dada. Yeah.
Got it. Fallon. And it works. Too,
and that way, the entire book is just Dada, 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 Dada. And that way you can be certain that the first words out of your child's mouth will be Dada.
Which can backfire.
Which is important. It's important. It's a key detail. So there is some stuff you can do, but the reality is you're kind of more a support role for the wife.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
directly involved with the child. There's interaction, of course. You have your fair share of diaper changes, and then usually it's passing the child back off.
So you're saying I shouldn't be breastfeeding during this time?
Well, not I mean, me. that's in Meet the Fockers, the mannery true. Gland.
The boob. Yeah, I did forget about that. It's crazy.
Yes, I mean, short of if you're, I mean, you can pump and, you know, freeze and then the dad can feed to give the wife a little bit of a break. Yeah. If you're on formula, then, you know, you could split things kind of 50-50. But you know, here we go with the, you know, stereotypes, but stereotypically the mom is going to spend a little bit more time with the child in that very
fair.
Early first 18 months that you're talking about. Your it's job crazy as a dad is to support
what they learn from birth to 1.5. Like they go from literally not being able to do anything at all for themselves. And I mean nothing to mine. Youngest one is right now at that 1.5 year mark, and he is sprinting, speaking some English, speaking some Spanish, like learning people's personalities. Like he can fully eat on his own. He can get what he wants. Like it, that 1.5 year, it feels like the big, they make
should,
their,
you should put an asterisk on fully eat by himself. Cause I'm sure it's
he
not
gets
clean.
The food eaten in his stomach. It's he did. He
perfect
does
the, like, utensil etiquette.
He was eating pizza the other day, and he was just decided he was done with it, and just right where he was in the living room, just stopped and put it on the floor and walked away. Like, I'm done.
I love it. I love it.
I'm not looking for a table. Nothing. I'm just finished with this. So
my peasant of a father can clean this up after me.
That's why you get a dog. It was immediately cleaned up. No mess whatsoever.
There you go.
Immediately cleaned up. Took no time off my day. All right. So I got 2 to 7, where again, I don't even know why that's a category, but it is a category. It's what I've got. This is where definitely the dad starts to get more involved, because there's just a lot more going on. It feels like from 2 to 7, especially starting at 2, like the feelings start to be a very real thing. So for us, my 5-year-old right now, the main thing we've got going with him is like how to understand his feelings, how to control them, which is he's got a case of the fits. So like we're trying all sorts of different things.
Anger management.
Yeah. Yeah. Anger. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, it's anger management. Mm-hmm. Like we're doing like breathing exercises. So, but it's all these things that like from until two, like you're just like, ah, life's good. Like whatever. Cocoa melon, goldfish.
Well, this is where I would say that your 2 to 7 bracket, in my opinion, and I'm probably wrong, is too large.
Probably.
I think there's a pretty definitive change in a toddler around the 4 to 5 year mark. They stop being
a baby.
Because at 2 years old, even at 3 years old, the way they talk, the way they eat, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they see the world is very different. And it's very strange because I have one that's over 4 now and then one that's 8. And I'm starting to see the toddler in my 4-year-old disappear very quickly. Mm. He's becoming more independent. He's becoming more self, you know, confident. He's starting to tackle things more. Like they don't look to you for things. He's at that point now where he's starting to go off and do things on his own. He wants to go tackle this thing on the playground alone. Beforehand, it was always, come help me do this. Come help me do this. Come help me do this. You know, and my 8-year-old is fully past that where, you know, he doesn't need me for anything.
Right.
You know, I'm slowing him down everywhere.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because, like, I feel like that's where the actual prep starts to come in because they are starting to do things on their own, like the playground, for example. Like, all right, you're going to the playground. Like, before we get to the playground, I always give them a little pep talk, like, all right, you look out for your brothers. You play nice. If there's mean kids, stay away from them. Like, you know, go through the rundown. But it's that was one of those things I had. Like, I feel like in that age group, it's teaching them because you can't do it for them anymore. You can't teach a kid or you can't make a kid make a friend. You can only give them pointers, really.
Right.
You know, things to look out
for.
That's
where I would say your age group should be split into two. And I think that's, you it know, probably one should. And a half. Because that's where your last one let off. 1.5 to probably 4.
Yeah.
And then that's probably 5 better. To 7. And I think in that 1.5 to 4 year phase, as a dad, what you should really focus on is just enjoying the toddler phase.
Yeah.
Spend as much time with them as you can. It's fun. It can be annoying at times, and it can certainly be tiring because they're looking for you to do everything with them.
Yeah.
Throw me in the air. I want to jump. I want to play. I want to go down the slide and have you catch me. I want to jump off the stairs and have you catch me. Put me on your shoulders. Do this, do that. Carry me. You know, and at one point somewhere in there, they're going to stop asking you to carry them.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're going to stop asking you to catch them when they jump off of this thing or that thing.
Can your kids do the monkey bars
yet? So it's like, say again?
Can they do the monkey bars yet, yours?
My 8-year-old can, yeah.
He can do the monkey, okay.
But I think that's where, for that earlier phase, the 18-month to 4-year-ish, I think you just try to grit your teeth, and even if you're tired, go try to enjoy and invest in them as much as possible in having fun. Just exploring, trying things, be as supportive as you can. Get them to try the monkey bars and hold their legs. Get them to try everything you can and encourage them to do it on their own, but be the supportive parent that helps them. And I think in that later half of that phase of your two there, the 4 to 7, 5 to 7, I think that's where you really try to start encouraging them to do it on their own, that you're not always going to be there, that they're going to go to school and they're going to have to figure it out on their own. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on a playground at school on their own and they have to make friends on their own. They're going to have to take on challenges on their own. They may be on a sports team where they have to be a team player, and there's a different dad that's the coach, and you're just sitting in the audience, or maybe they're at practice and you're not even there because you dropped them off. So it's like that 5 to 7, 4 to 7 is really where I think the encouragement then goes from you carrying them on your shoulders to you watching them go out on their own.
Yeah. That's one I had, is prepping them to now start to trust other adults that aren't your parents or grandparents or, you know, direct family. It's like, all right, you're going to preschool now. You're going to kindergarten. You're going to learn to trust your teacher, whom, and I won't be there. You know, it's not just a person you're going to need to learn to trust, but you're going to trust them while I'm not there. You're going to learn to trust, you know, if there's a teacher's aide in the class, something like that. So that's a pretty, that was a tough one for our middle one, was for him to kind of wrap his brain around, like, oh, well, who's the boss? I thought you guys were the boss. It's like, well, we are, but when you go to school, now teacher's the boss. And that he's got it now,
so
but that was
focused. That's interesting, because we didn't really have either one of ours. And, you know, granted, the younger one's four right now, but, and we're doing homeschool now, but we never really had one looking at like a hierarchy of things.
Uh huh.
That, like, so you mentioned boss. Ours aren't really concerned with that. That's not something they've gone through. So it's interesting that yours are looking at things more from like a who's the authority figure.
Well,
I'd be curious for a psychologist to weigh in on like why.
So I wear a crown and a cape around the house. Could that have affected? I thought you were the king. I have a scepter from time to time, so maybe that could have messed them up. No, yeah, I don't know why. Like, yeah, I don't know, because our first child didn't have any, you know, he went to school and he was like, all right, you're the teacher. It is what it is.
We've struggled more with like the just flat out obedience. It's not really like who's in charge and whatnot. Just it's just when so-and-so says something, you need to obey. When so-and-so says something, you need to do what they say. You need to be nice on the playground. You need to be nice here. You need to say, yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. You know, yes, miss, whatever the teacher's name is. You know, saying the pleases and thank yous and being, you know, respectable little demon children.
Hey, respectable demons. All right. So after that, I've just got now I've kind of simplified it to just grade school, middle school, high school. Would you agree? Because in that 7 to 8, you're covering kindergarten.
It's interesting, though, because I think that's kind of a logical breakdown. But I don't know that that's the best breakdown.
You could probably split grade school into two, don't you think?
What's the age that you go from grade school to middle school? You start kindergarten at what, 5? So it would be roughly 9 or 10 that you start.
Pre-K 5, probably, depending on the month. But yeah, somewhere in there.
So you're around 9 or 10 when you enter middle school? Does that sound correct?
No.
5 years in grade school, right?
Yeah.
Or 10 or 11? I mean, if you're 5 when you start grade school and it's 5 years in grade school, it might be 10.
Yeah, like 5th grade should be like 11 or 12, I think. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then I guess that makes a little bit of sense. Because what I was getting at was kind of the puberty thing. Like,
that's what I left
big change.
Middle school for.
Well, you know, I think you could break it down as grade school, middle school, high school. But I think a lot of kids are either already gone through the puberty thing or have not gone through the puberty thing when that transition happens.
Now, I will say this is weird. This is a weird Ohio thing. In Ohio, you go from grade school to 6th grade. It's just his own thing. Maybe it's just our, I don't know. And then 7th and 8th is middle school. But I think most places are 6th, 7th, 8th is middle school. I think that's normal.
Where I grew up and what was down here in Florida was K through 5 was grade school. And then 6, 7, 8 was middle.
Yep.
And 9 through 12 was high.
I think
now,
that's normal.
My oldest brother did I don't even know what it's called. I don't think it was a trade school. But in 4th grade, they moved him to this other school that was 4 through 8.
Interesting.
It was it.
I've never heard of that.
I'd have to talk to him and get more info on exactly what it was. It was like an arts thing or something. I don't know. It was some type of magnet school.
So, all right. So we got off on a little tangent there, as we do. So grade school, I had, as far as preparing, this is kind of where all the fun and games, not all the fun and games, of course, not all, but now there is a large portion of your life, son, daughter, that is not fun and games. And when you go to school, you're going to work and you are there to learn, and you're going to be there with your friends, but you're going to put your head down and you're going to spend a majority of the day doing things you don't really want to do. So it's kind of for me,
buckle down, because that's the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's the first taste of real life. Like, man, so I'm getting, you know, you're getting up at 8 whenever you go to school, and you get off at 3 o'clock, and you might have a gym class lunchtime. Recess is fine, but it's, for me, it's like that prepping of, it's more of a mental prep, because everything up to this point has been, pre-K's school, but it's coloring, it's some numbers, it's fun stuff for the most part. Not a lot of intense learning. You're learning to read. That's probably it, though, but those books are fun. You're not exactly reading boring things. So that's what I have for grade school as far as prep, is just mentally trying to get them prepared for, now you're going to do 5 hours of stuff you don't want to do.
Yeah, I think that's good, because your kids are most likely to enjoy one or two of their subjects and absolutely despise the rest. Mm-hmm. And they will have no problem with the math, but they're going to hate reading. Or they may love to read, but they don't want to go anywhere near math.
Hate the math. Yep.
And it will be like pulling teeth to get them to do that. So I think you're right. Preparing them to, you have to do things that you don't want to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to do it, period. Moving on.
These are the confines of our society.
So I think that's where, as a parent, it's like you get a taste of probably more of what you're going to see later on, in that there's going to be some consequences that your kids are going to have to face. And you know, hopefully you can help guide them through that by administering those consequences yourself in a loving and teachable way.
Yeah.
Because if you don't teach some of those things now,
I'm not there to help you.
Right. But if you don't teach some of those things now, if you don't be the parent, if you're trying to be the friend, then you're only setting them up down the road for bigger failures,
big problems,
when they try not to do what they don't want to do.
Yes, definitely. Now,
for us, I think a lot of it was just encouraging them to learn. You don't know it. The only way you're going to get better at it is doing it. Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
And keep trying. The only way you're going to get better at it is if you continue doing it.
Yeah, you're going to have to fail a lot before you get good at it. A whole lot. And it's tough when they get to school, because, like you said, there's going to be subjects. You're going to go to each class, and there's going to be a kid who's really good at math, and you're going to suck. But then you're going to go to science, and you're going to be really good at science and somebody else. So, like, you got to figure out how to not only deal with it yourself, but you're going to be looking around the room, and every human being does it from, you know, a small age to we're old. You're constantly comparing yourself to other people. Shouldn't be, but we do. So that's another thing, is trying to, that's been something that's been tough with our oldest, is like, well, this person can read this in class and I can't. And it's like, yeah, but you know, you just got to keep doing it, man. Like, it's, you can't just quit reading. You're going to need that skill.
Not at the grade school level.
you're going to have to push through this one, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
There's a lot of millionaires that have dropped out of college. I don't know how many of them dropped out of grade school.
Look, if we get to high school and you're like, Dad, I don't need trigonometry, I'm probably going to look at you and go, yeah, you're probably right. We could probably leave that be if you don't want. But, you know, let's learn the vowels. I think that's an important life skill for sure. Now, real quick, before we move on from grade school, first kiss in grade school? Late?
I think you could add a definition. You could add a definition to kiss.
Peck on the cheek.
Ours technically had his in like daycare at,
yes,
I don't know, 3 or 4 years old. Like, I mean,
a man's man.
Very early on. And, well, she wasn't thrilled about it.
Oh, no.
She replied to him afterwards with, no, thank you.
How young,
oh boy,
can you be to get reported, buddy, for sexual harassment?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Well, thankfully, her parents were friends of ours. So
that's good. Hey, man.
A bit of an awkward conversation.
That's good. Man, I like that. I had.
And now we're homeschooling. So.
Yeah.
That limits the possibilities.
Mine was fourth grade, school.
Oh, your
fourth grade,
not your child.
Fourth grade. Yeah, not my child because he's not in fourth grade. Fourth grade. Becky Simon. If you're listening, Becky,
you remember the name.
Appreciate you standing there and letting me kiss you in the face. And then
lips
or in the cheek. No, cheek for sure. So there was because it got out. It got out that I had a crush on Becky. So the pressure was on for some reason to just kiss her. We're not asking out. I'm like that. That was the thing. And everybody was standing around going, kiss her, kiss her.
And no closet thing. You didn't.
No, this was on the sidewalk as soon as we got off the bus.
There you go.
Just at like 3:20, right? On a Wednesday, whatever it was. And I kissed her and turned and ran as fast as I possibly could by my house around the turn. Out of sight. No, I was gone. I left my book bag. I was gone. I don't think I ever talked to her again. I think that was it.
Well, she's going to comment on the podcast here in a little bit.
Let's see if we can find her. I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure mine was in first grade, and no, I don't remember her name.
Hey, well, it's okay. Me and Becky had something special. We really did. And maybe if I didn't turn and run, it could have been something there. I probably broke her heart. She's probably never the same again. She probably never seen
therapy for the rest of her life.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about it. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Common Dad podcast. We are so thankful to all of our listeners and followers, and we have heard you loud and clear. We would love to introduce our new line of Common Dad merch right down there at the link below. We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, we got hats, we got travel mugs. If you want to see another item in the store, leave us a comment. Let us know. We will get to work. Thank you again. Now, back to the show. Let's move on to the worst.
Thank goodness.
The worst of all is middle school. We've yet to
experience this yet.
So all right. So this is where this is where you and I can draw on some of our experience as far as like volunteering, because I've volunteered in church setting, middle school and high school. So certainly been around that age group, and you have too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So well, I haven't volunteered with middle schoolers, but I have volunteered in a church and I have seen middle schoolers and I avoid them like the plague.
They are the worst creature that walks the earth, I think. That or a high schooler, a cool kid high schooler. One or the other. I don't know. Whenever I see a
the tool bag.
Yeah, okay. The tool bag. Yeah. And like you see him at the grocery store and I'm just like, oh, I hate you. I hate you so much. But all right, let's focus on middle school. We'll hit on high schoolers. I just put down good luck for my prep. That was the first thought that came to mind was just, okay, well, cause it's such a mixed bag of crap. You don't know what you're going to get in middle school.
You don't. If you want to be, in my opinion, the best thing that kids can do in that middle school era is put your head down, keep as much to yourself as possible.
Yeah.
Put your head down, put the blinders on, do what you need to do and get out. Yeah.
Get yourself two or three close friends.
Hopefully friends that you knew from before middle school and that live near you so that you can like ride the bus together or go into school together. You can play after school together. and then ignore everybody else. Just straight up, don't learn their names, don't learn their lives.
You don't need to
know
them. You
put your blinders on, you do what you're supposed to do. Yep. You get into middle school and you get out. Like that's the advice.
I think it's survival.
Nobody is going to that advice. But
no middle school kid will, because they're middle school kids. But yeah, that would be if I could make them do something, it would be that. Get two or three friends that you fully trust. Because middle school is where being cool starts to like matter. In grade school, it's maybe, but like middle school starts to be like, all right, who's popular? Who's not popular? How many friends do you have? Do you have a girlfriend? And like, God, none of it matters. It's so dumb. It's so stupid. It's just like, if you can just get out of there with a couple good friends, like, that's it. Like, just survive, I feel like, is the
problem is at that age, it feels like forever.
It does.
Especially if you have 3 years. You could say like, oh, well, when you get into high school, you can go make friends. Or when you graduate, you know, like,
yeah.
This is only 3 years of your life. And it's like you and I being, you know, in our 30s now, we look at like 3 years and it's like, gosh, that's such a small period of time.
It's a drop in the bucket.
It's a blink of an eye at this point. But when you're 11 years old, 3 years is a third of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's true. It's a huge amount of time. Yeah. And you tell them, well, just wait 3 years. And it's like, oh, God, that's forever.
That's a lot of time. Yeah. Middle school was for me personally fine. It wasn't bad. I don't know if I did it on purpose, but it worked out to where I had like two or three friends and we just kind of rode that out. But it's, man, like you can see middle schoolers go in all different direction, and probably because like the maturity, like, cause that's when the kids start to mature, but not at the same rate at all.
Nope, not at all.
I was walking around with a full chest of hair, like, and I'm just like, what is I'm sweating everywhere. Like, why is this? I don't know how to groom myself. What is deodorant? Why do I need that? Oh, that's why I smell like this every day. Like, it's just so, it's so much. I don't envy that at all. Is middle school the worst age ever so far?
It is for everybody surrounding middle schoolers. It's not as a middle schooler.
Yeah.
I had a few rough times as a middle schooler. Now, my family moved 2,000 miles during the middle of my middle school years. In between seventh and eighth grade, I moved from Ohio to Florida.
Yeah.
So that was a little rough. Literally leaving the only place I had ever known, the only school system I had ever known, all of my friends from my entire life, and moving 2,000 miles away to a completely new school system, new environment, new climate, new everything.
Yeah.
Was shocking. But
you mean Northeast Ohio is different than South Florida? Just a bit.
When it's, you know, 80 degrees on Christmas Day, it's slightly different.
Yeah, you went from squirrels to alligators.
Yeah.
That's a difference. Yeah, but yeah, middle school, you're right, though. Like, the experience itself isn't bad, but I think it's tough for everybody around, like you said, because middle school is when they start to think they can reason.
Well, it's where they really think they're smarter than you.
There's no critical thinking skills.
They think they can trick you. They think they can get one by you. They think they're smarter than you.
So
dumb. It's like, yeah, you're
such a dumb.
Yeah. So much to learn.
So dumb. All right. So let's move on to good old high school. This is where, for me, and again, the subject is prep. I think this is the high school years for me. It feels like are really where you're really prepping your kid. Like, all right, we got 4 years to get you ready for actual life. You know, with out of the house, we're not around. You can call us if you need us, but you are out of the house. So it feels like most of the prep work starts now. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, the prep really work has kicks been, in. The prep work. I don't know. The prep work has been happening your entire life. Teaching them manners is just as important when they go out and try to do a job interview and they shake a person's hand and look them in the eye and say, you know, thank you. Well, that's something I'm teaching my 8-year-old.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think you're teaching them bits and pieces and parts and pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand the principle of what you're saying. There are certainly some big moments that are going to happen in high school that are going to either make or break them in a professional career.
So maybe this, would it be more accurate to say these 4 years are kind of like a, all right, now we're putting everything together.
This is, yeah, like, I would say this is putting the puzzle together. This is putting the puzzle together, and okay. This is like the dress rehearsal before the show. This is the, you know, scrimmage right before the game.
We're gonna
test you. Maybe you're gonna go get your first job, and maybe you have to pay your own cell phone bill from now on. We're gonna see how you do paying your own cell phone bill. When your cell phone doesn't work, how did you pay the bill? What happens now? Imagine that that's the water bill or the electric bill or the TV bill or your mortgage payment, and there's a notice on your door now.
Yep.
You know, that's that trial and error period where they can start to figure out, life is, I have to think of a lot of stuff. I have to work. I have to pay bills. Like, how much time do I get to play? Oh, none.
I'll tell you what was great? Really good prep, and our kids won't go through this now because everything's digital, but getting my first job, I went through the mall and asked for applications. Mm-hmm. And I collected like 20 of them, and then I went and filled them out, and then went back the next day and walked the mall. And because for this point in life in high school, you're still pretty guarded, like middle school for the most part. If you go out for a team, if you go out for the team, you make the team, just be there. Depending on your size of high school, it tends to be the same. But you go out to get a job and you do an interview and they just say no. And then that's it. You don't ever see them again. They told you to your face that they don't want you and you weren't good enough. And that's it. And then you're just like, oh.
Welcome to life.
So I can't talk my way out of it. No, we don't want you here. We don't think you could contribute.
You've got to go try again somewhere else.
And then you go again. And I remember just not getting jobs like all in the same, you know, mall.
But I would argue, I know what you're saying is like, the, you know, in the digital era, technically our kids probably don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But early on, I mean, my parents told me, like, even if I apply online somewhere, I should show up and ask to talk to the manager and say, hey, I sent an application. Yeah. Just want to make sure you got it. Just wanted to shake your hand, see you, see if there's anything else you needed. I printed out a copy and brought it to you just in case, you know, you didn't get the email. You do that and you are 10 times more likely to get the job.
Yeah.
You show up and you, so it's like, I'm going to teach my kids the same thing. It's like, don't just sit there and apply 100 times online to stuff.
Right. Don't just
show up at their door and ask to talk to the manager. And that's going to go miles because everybody you're competing with for that job is just spamming,
is not showing up
online applications. And so the fact that you took the time to show up is going to be better. But high school is really about testing them in everything you've learned before so that when they get out into the world, they are somewhat prepared to handle what life is going to throw at them because it's going to throw a lot at them really quick.
So the last thing I had for high school, and my high school experience was pretty fun for the most part. I wasn't a cool kid by any stretch of the imagination, but
still aren't.
Still not cool. But the one thing that I took from high school and still have with me are the relationships. I still have plenty of friends from high school that are still my best friends. And all the other stuff in high school, while seems important, it just fades away. If you're in sports, the wins, the losses, those go away. The grades, for the most part, don't really matter. Like at the end of the day, you either get a diploma or you don't get a diploma. Like that's...
Well, colleges are going to care what your grades
depending
are.
Depending on the college you want to go to, that could matter.
But that point will come back again here because at the end of college, your employer is not going to ask you what your GPA was in college.
No.
You either get the job or you don't. The question on your resume or on your application is, you know, where did you graduate from college and is it a 4-year degree or a 2-year degree or an 8-year degree?
That's it.
It's not what your grades were.
They don't care. Yep.
So
doesn't matter.
Grades don't really matter.
So the only thing I had was to prepare, you know, them as far as I don't silence my phone during this podcast. You heard that. Is really the things that matter are the friendships that you make in high school. Like, and it's hard to teach them that. I feel like it's going to be hard to teach them that in the moment. But if I can drive that home a little bit, I feel like maybe they start getting that as a senior. You start to be kind of a normal human being.
You know, I think an equal share of this is on me. I had plenty of, you know, friends in high school, but I don't really talk to any of them anymore. You know, and I take a little bit of ownership of that myself. You know, mm-hmm. Now they haven't necessarily been reaching out to me and I'm just sending them to voicemail, but right. I'm not reaching out to them either. Yeah. I think what's important is that you learn in high school to mix with the crowd,
mm-hmm.
interact with people that you agree with and that you enjoy being around, but interact with people you don't like and you don't agree with, and you have to figure out how to work with them, because at work, when you get a job and you're in the real life, there are going to be bosses that you don't like, and there's going to be coworkers that you disagree with, and you're going to have to get both of them to like you and want to work with you, and if you don't, you're out of a job.
That's a real skill, is getting people you don't like to like you. That is a good one.
You know,
yeah. Figuring out, not even relationships, I think that you
learning
keep,
that skill, because after that, those, yeah. your friend groups are going to become the people you work with every day.
True.
They're going to become the people you network with.
Yeah.
The people you go out with. You know, if you're involved in a church, it's going to be people that you hang out with at church. Maybe you go get lunch after church, or maybe you get together with all of your church friends on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it's important for you to establish friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has to be people you went to high school with.
No, but it's you're learning how to do, like we talked about earlier. This is the dress rehearsal.
Make friends.
Make friends. Figure out what kind of friend you
need. A team that's got your back. And in order to do that, you have to make friends. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. I like that. Well, I don't have anything else. I don't think there's much to say about college, because at that point we're just kind of watching, and if you need me, call me and good luck. No, just kidding. But colleges, they're adults at that point.
This is all, I would encourage the parents to not try to be their children's friends through any of the process. Be the parent.
Yes.
You know, I went to a private high school, and even after high school and college, I see so many parents of these, you know, friends that I had in high school who were buying them BMWs they were high schoolers.
Can't wait
and
to
they
wrap
paid
that
100% of the tree. College and they pay the cell phone bill and they paid the health insurance and they paid this and they paid that. And it's like these kids, they turn 25 and they're still on their parents' health insurance and they're still on their parents' cell phone plan and they're still on this. And it's like,
and they don't know how life works.
They haven't figured out how life works because you haven't prepared them for it.
Mm-hmm.
You've been holding their hand this entire time.
Yep.
My encouragement to parents, even if you have the means to pay their cell phone bill and buy them a car,
don't do it.
Maybe you finance the car and you make them pay you. That way you're not, you know, paying a bank or something like that. You need to teach the kids life.
Yes.
There's different things to teach them at different stages, but they need to learn to do these things on their own. You're not always going to be able to pay their cell phone bill for them. They need to learn to do some of those things on their own, and they are going to become better people in society the more they're able to do that. So stop holding their hand, stop paying their cell phone bill, and let them figure it out.
Yeah. Definitely don't pay the BMW.
You know, give them advice and mentor them, but don't hold their hand and pay their entire college tuition and pay for their car and pay for their car insurance and pay for their cell phone. And because at some point they're going to be 35 years old living in your basement because that's all they've ever known.
We all know those people like that in high school and throughout college, and they're not doing great. I guarantee you can think of a couple that who were coddled until legally couldn't be coddled anymore. And
they're still single living at home.
Yeah. It's just not a fantastic outlook. Well, if we missed anything else, if you think we butchered the life stages, I know I did. But any other prep, let us know what you think. Of course, the most important thing out of this entire episode, if you didn't get anything, I want you to get this. Go to our Instagram page and follow it, and then go to Facebook, follow that, and then go to YouTube and follow that. And it's all 100 for the rest of this month. It is free. I can't speak for what it'll be the following month.
If you hit subscribe now, you're locked in.
You're locked in. You lock that rate in. Absolutely. I don't know if it will be for next month, so definitely get in on that discount now. And there's not a coupon code, so you just click it and then you're done. That's it. And then go to our store and then buy stuff. None of that's free. That is all full, 100% full price. And there are no discounts available in any way, shape, or form, but you can leave a tip. So we do appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Seriously, the best way to support the show is just to listen. So we appreciate it. We love you. We thank you. And we will see you next time.